So the title of our paper is the real-time conjugate gradients for online fMRI classification. So first I'll begin with a schematic of the real-time fMRI system, and then I will move on to show you some previous work on online learning algorithms and our proposed real-time conjugate gradients. And in the last part, I will show you some test results. So conventionally, fMRI experiments are done in batch processing. So the experiment will give a certain kind of task to the subject in the brain scanner. For example, it's a brain state classification. And by the end of the experiment, we gather a time series of brain scan image, and we apply certain kind of offline learning algorithms to have some inference results. In contrast, a real-time fMRI system, in a real-time fMRI system, we don't need to wait at the end of the experiment. At each time point, we have a 3D brain scan image, and by using an online learning algorithm, we can have the inference results of the current brain state before we have the next brain scan image. And the benefit of doing so is that by using the real-time feedback, the experimenter can use the real-time feedback to monitor the data quality, or to do the real-time mind reading, or to modify the task while it is still going on. And if we give the real-time feedback to the subject in the scanner, then we can build a brain-computer interface. However, the benefits comes with the challenge. So the main challenge for the real-time fMRI system is the computational complexity, because we want to process fMRI data, which is usually of dimension 10 to the power of 5 within 1 TR, which is usually 2 to 3 seconds. And we also want to choose an accurate and also adaptive algorithm so that we can allow the experimenter to modify the task on the fly. So this is our proposed method, which is called the real-time conjugate gradient. It is motivated by a widely used algorithm in neuroimaging community, which is called the partial least squares. And our algorithm is online, so we do both training and classifying in real time. And in our real fMRI tests, it shows that our algorithm is fast. It can reach an accuracy about 90% within 0.5 seconds using an ordinary personal computer. And I'll also show you test results, which shows that the algorithm is adaptive. So there are many online learning algorithms out there, and some of them have been applied to fMRI application, but not all of them are real real online algorithms. Some of them are trained offline and do the prediction online. But in our definition of online learning algorithm, we mean that we need both training and the classification in real time. So here are some examples of the true online learning algorithm, including a general linear model, independent component analysis, and support vector machines. So as I've mentioned, our algorithm is based on the partial least squares. So let me first give you a brief review of what is a partial least square algorithm. So here, our input data is matrix X, which is of dimension n by k, where n is the number of examples, which are the brain scan image, and k is the dimension of the image, which is usually the power on the order of 10 to the power of 5. And the output is the corresponding brain state to the brain scan image. So partial least square assumes that both the input and output are generated by the same set of latent factors F. So we can express X as FP transpose and Y as FQ, where P and Q are loading factors for X and Y respectively. And partial least square is an iterative method. It, in each iteration, it finds the new latent factors, and then it does a univariate regression to find the loading factors P and Q. And in the last step, it does a rank one deflation to subtract the current contribution of the current latent factors, and then it moves on to the next iteration. Because it is an iterative method, so it is not so efficient in a real-time context. So in 2009, an improvement of the traditional partial least square is proposed. It is called the bridge partial least square. So the main idea of the bridge partial least square is that they add a new rich parameter to the covariance matrix so that we can extract all the latent factors in only one step instead of doing multiple iterations. However, this algorithm is still not efficient enough for our desired online our desired real-time system. So what we want is an algorithm which has a comparable performance as the partial least squares, but it is more efficient. So when we look into the partial least squares, we found that these two papers claim that partial least square is actually a conjugate gradient algorithm. So based on that, we proposed a new real-time conjugate gradient algorithm to fit in our system. So let's formalize the problem here. So our for the real-time system, at each time we receive a new example, XT, which is the brain scan image, and our classifier trained at T minus 1 makes a prediction based on the new example. And after the algorithm makes the prediction, we receive the true label from the subject, and we update our classifier with the new with this information. So the problem becomes a quadratic minimization problem. To make the algorithms more efficient, instead of using all the past examples, we take a sliding window of the examples. So at each time, we only use the past H examples for the training. So there are two benefits of doing this. The first one is, like I mentioned, it's the efficiency. And what's more important, it makes the algorithm to be adaptive. So now the problem becomes this, and which is a quadratic minimization problem, and the conjugate gradient can solve it. So what is a conjugate gradient? It is an algorithm to solve the quadratic minimization problem, and it shares a similar structure as the gradient descent. It is an iterative method with a zero initialization. It searches the directions which is conjugate to all the previous directions, and it does a line search on each direction and terminates in each step. So to further speed up the whole algorithm, we make two major modifications. The first is a good starting point. So conventionally, conjugate gradient starts at the zero initialization, but because we're using a sliding window of the data, each time we are only adding a new data point and remove an old data point. So it is reasonable to assume that the classifier at time t is very close to the classifier to the previous classifier. So we are using the previous training result as the starting point for the search for our current classifier. And this makes the algorithm faster, which I will show you later in the experiment results. And it also encodes the past memory, which makes the algorithm have the information of the past. And another modification is, instead of letting the algorithm terminate in each steps, we let it terminate in IMAX steps. So IMAX mediates the past memory with the current data. So if IMAX equals to H, then no matter where your start point is, we don't have any memories of the past. We are only training on the current data we have. If IMAX is less than H, then it has the partial past memories of the previous training. So we in the paper, we also show that compared with the partial least squares, if we have the both, we have the same zero initialization, then our algorithm yield identical steps with the partial least squares algorithm, which means under the same initialization, our algorithm can have a comparable performance as the partial least squares. So now I will show you some test results we have done. We tested these three algorithms. The first is our proposed real-time conjugate gradient algorithm, and the second one is the partial least squares applied to the window-sized data, and the third one is the traditional bridge partial least square applied to the window-sized data. And we tested on three synthetic data set and three real fMRI data set. For the first synthetic data set, we generate 200 examples each of dimension 2000, and we choose two sets of features each of dimension 100. So when the label is 1, we set one of the feature set to have value 1, and when the label is minus 1, we choose another, the other feature set. And the label is a repeating pattern of 1 and minus 1, and we add some Gaussian noise. In the second synthetic data set, we generate the in a similar way as the first one, but just we randomize the labels. And for the third one, we designed this to test the adaptiveness of our algorithm. So for each 150 example, we are using a new model to generate the data. And for the fMRI data test, the first task is a visual perception task. So we show the subject in the scanner a flickering checkerboard, which is either on the left side or on the right side. So when the checkerboard is on the left, then the right part of the visual cortex of the subject will be activated and vice versa. The label, which is the position of the checkerboard, is a repeating pattern of left and right, and we have a data point which is of dimension about 122,000 every 3 seconds. And the second data test is similar to the first one, except that we randomize the label. And the third one, we used a public available data set, which is published in a 2000 science paper by Haxby. It is a category-related object vision task. So we take 10 rounds of one subject from the data set. So basically, they're showing either a face image or a house image to the subject in the scanner. And each data point is of dimension about 163,000. So this is the test results of the three algorithms. So here we show the prediction accuracy and also the average training time for each algorithm. And as you can see, among these three algorithms, our algorithm is always the fastest one. And in most cases, our algorithm have higher accuracy than the other two. And the only case it doesn't do as good as the other two is the synthetic data 3, which is the data set when we change the model which generates the data. And later I will show you how we can improve this result so that our algorithm can have a comparable performance as the other two. So this is the this is the prediction results of the synthetic data set. The black line here is the label of is the true label of the example. It's either 1 or minus 1. And the blue line is the prediction results. As you can see, it fits nicely with the true label. And there is a global learning curve you can see on the plots, because that is because we choose the previous training results as the starting point, which encodes the memory, so that the algorithm gets more and more confident when it sees more and more examples. And on the right side, on the right is the prediction plot for the synthetic data set 3. So the reason why our algorithm doesn't do as good as the other two in model changing context is because we our algorithm has the past memory. So when within the same model, the memory can help you to learn faster, but if you change the model, the memory of the past actually hurts you. So it's a trade-off between the memory and adaptiveness. And this is the prediction results on the real fMRI tests. And as I said, I will show you that a good starting point for the algorithm really matters, because if we look at the training, the residual in the training phase, we can see that at first we don't have any memory of the past, so the residual is very high. But within 10 to 20 examples, using the memory helps us to reduce the residual from like 5,000 to only 0.1% of the residual at the very first beginning. So, and also we can use this information to improve our performance when the model changes, because as you notice, every time the model changes, the residual becomes high again. So by detecting the sudden change of the residual, we can make the model to forget all the past memories and start over again. So we can improve the performance of our algorithm so that it can has a it can have a comparable performance as the other two. So for some future work, so right now we are only generate the prediction results, but we haven't used it to as a real-time feedback to the experiment or the subject. So in the next step, we're considering using that information to build like a brain computer interface, and we also want to try more complicated experiments, and we also want to compare it with other real-time algorithms out there. So thank you, and I'd like to take some questions if there's any.
Thank you. So, questions? You have comments on that work? No? So, a way to speed up gradient kind algorithm is to use a preconditioner. So, have you think about that, and is it possible to include that in your algorithm? We use preconditioners, so it is a matrix you apply at the beginning, and it's some kind of normalization of the matrix you have to invest and so on.
We didn't do any precondition, but definitely you can do like some pre-processing to make the data like detrending, or you can do the, but it costs, it will increase the time complexity definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So,